Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's glad, I'm glad to see all of you here today, actually. The value of animals to mankind can be measured in many ways. We value pets by their companionship to us. Animals, especially in third world nations, are valued as beasts of burden to reduce the work of man. Animals can be valued as a source of food. Animal breeders understand the value of quality animals for passing on their genetic traits. An American bald eagle is valued as this nation's symbol of strength, courage, and freedom. If I were to ask you to compile a list of the five most valuable animals that are alive on the face of this earth, I'm sure that you would make this list that depends on where you live, from what nation you are, and from what culture you've been raised in. One animal can be valued highly in one nation, and yet another nation, the same animal will be given a low value. Today I'm going to ask you to consider an animal that is potentially a being the most valuable animal on the face of this earth. This animal is very rare. It was born this year. This animal was born in Israel. So, do you know what animal I'm talking about? Well, this animal is a red heifer. Taking this informational sermonette, let's see why the red heifer is so special, so valuable, and its possible consequence to the peoples of this earth. Well, let's open our Bibles to Numbers 19, and we'll read verses 1 through 10 about a red heifer. Now, in Numbers 19, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect, and on which a yoke has never come. You should give it to Eleazar the priest, that he may take it outside the camp, and that it shall be slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger and sprinkle some of its blood seven times directly in front of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the heifer shall be burned in its sight, its hide, its flesh, its blood, its offal shall be burned." We're talking about the whole animal here. "And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast them into the midst of the burning fire with the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, he shall bathe in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until evening. And the one who burns it shall wash his clothes in water, bathe in water, and shall be unclean until evening. Then a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and store them outside the camp in a clean place. And they shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel. For the water of purification is for purifying from sin. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It shall be a statute forever to the children of Israel and to the stranger who dwells among them." What we just read is that in ancient Israel, the ashes of a flawless red heifer were needed for purification from sin. Now, before Solomon's temple was built, and before the tabernacle in the wilderness was built or raised up, and even before the priesthood was established, the patriarchs of Israel built altars in various locations and offered sacrifices. But now, after when the priesthood, the tabernacle, and temple were established, only the Levitical priesthood could offer those sacrifices at those altars, at the tabernacle, and later in the temple. Now today, in this year 2002, the religious Jews in that Middle Eastern nation that we call Israel today believe that building an altar and offering sacrifices other than the holy place, that is, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, would be a breach of Scripture. An organization called the Temple Mount has been working at fulfilling the biblical requirements to restore temple worship at the Temple Mount. They have constructed many of the items needed for worship and are training men to serve as Levites. What they lack is the ashes of a red heifer. For purification of the Jewish people, the Temple Mount, and the Levitical priesthood. Now on April 5th, this year, 2002, the Temple Institute announced that a red heifer was born in Israel. In fact, I have a picture of the little gal that you can get off the web, actually. The red heifer is actually kind of a rusty color, and I can pass this around later on for those who like to look at it. Now, the Temple Institute have constructed many of the items needed for worship and are training the men to serve as Levites. Okay, I said that, didn't I? Okay. Rabbi Menachem Makover and Rabbi Chaim Richman found this heifer to be kosher and indeed a candidate to be used in the process of purification described in Numbers 19, which I just recently read. Now, a heifer is a young female cow prior to the time she has produced her first calf. According to rabbinical teaching, no flawless red heifer has been born within the biblical land of Israel since Herod's temple was destroyed by the Roman Emperor Titus in 70 AD. And also, according to rabbinical teaching, the red heifer must be 3 years old before it can be used in a ritual sacrifice. Now, if this red heifer is proven to be acceptable for sacrifice in 3 years, then there are far, far-reaching geopolitical implications. For the Jews to build a temple or even an altar on the Temple Mount, they face a major problem. The Temple Mount is in control of the Muslims. The Temple Mount contains two Muslim mosques, the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Muslims believe that this site to be the place from which the Prophet Muhammad ascended into heaven on a horse. Now, the Muslims view the Temple Mount site in its mosque as the third most sacred place on earth. Let's turn our Bibles to Zechariah 12 and read what the prophet Zechariah spoke of how Jerusalem will affect the end time world. So in Zechariah 12, we read this. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day, I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations on the earth are gathered against it. The building of a temple or even an altar on the Temple Mount would intensify greatly the problem in the Middle East. Now, so what does it mean to us as Christians? Well, for this, we need to understand one thing, that the red heifer ultimately pointed to Jesus Christ. As Paul pointed out in Hebrews 9, let's go there and read about that. And in Hebrews 9, beginning in verse 13, For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Also notice that the red heifer was sacrificed outside the camp, as we read in Numbers 19. Jesus too was sacrificed outside the city of Jerusalem. Today I ask you to consider the red heifer that was born earlier this year as a candidate for the most valuable animal alive on the face of this earth. If it proves to be acceptable at the end of this three-year period, then the Jewish people will look upon it as a sign from God to either build a temple or an altar on the site of the Temple Mount. An animal of these qualifications would then be priceless to the Jewish people and cause much concern, and indeed a heavy stone to the peoples of the earth. As Daniel said in Daniel 2, verses 21 to 22, I'll just read it here. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells in him. As we see at the events of 9/11, the Trade Center and the Pentagon, for example, they're showing the world that events can happen very suddenly. Specific end time events can take place without warning to many people. As Christians, we are to follow the truth and watch world events. As we watch the events of the world unfold, like the birth of a red heifer, for example, we will have the context to understand events in the coming years.